You're listening to On Assignment by God, the daily blog and podcast. What did the Lord God say to me this morning? Hey, y'all, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of On Assignment by God. Yeah, we're on assignment by God, not by ourselves, by God. So welcome to On Assignment by God, the daily blog and daily podcast. I am your host, Fun Strong, TBA on the new last name. Okay, I'm coming to you with straight up faith this morning. Faith, you know what I'm saying? I just did the whoa when I did faith. I don't know why I did that. And if you had, you know, been watching me on video, you probably would have been embarrassed for me. But anyway, speaking of embarrassment, have you ever been under the influence? I'm talking about, you know, under the influence. Maybe you were under the influence of your parents. You know, they influenced you in everything you did. Maybe you were under the influence of a best friend. Everything they did, you did. They influenced you. You know how your parents was like, I don't want you hanging around them. They a bad influence. Maybe you were under the influence of an organization. Whatever the organization said, that's what you said. Whatever they said, whatever they thought, that's what you thought. Maybe you were under the influence of a school. Maybe you were under the influence of a leader. Whatever that leader said, that's what you went with. Maybe you were under the influence, or you've been under the influence of a cult. Yeah, I don't have anything to say about that, but yeah, I hope not. But what about being under the influence of alcohol or some form of drug? See, you probably thought that when I first started talking about being under the influence that I was talking about the last one, alcohol or drugs, because most of the time when people hear under the influence, your mind immediately goes to drinking alcohol. But today, as I was reading Ephesians 5 for the scriptural Bible study, and I hope you've been rocking with me this week on the scriptural Bible study, because we've been studying Ephesians 5 and I've been getting my whole life from reading the Bible, which is the exact place to get your whole life. Right there is the book to get your whole life. It's like a manual for life. Okay. But as I was reading Ephesians 5 verse 18 really stood out so much that I did a whole, you know, title under the influence. It says, and don't get drunk with liquor. Okay. It didn't say liquor. It said wine, but you know, for the people who drink liquor, I wanted to just, you know, make sure that you could relate. It said, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Be filled by the Spirit. And I don't know why I just had this image of homecoming. I attended an HBCU, Jackson State University. Shout out to Jackson State. We just got a new football coach. Prime time. Oh my goodness. It's just going to be crazy next year whenever football season really, you know, truly opens up. But anyway, Deion Sanders is the coach at Jackson State now. But anyway, that's not even what I'm trying to talk about. But I had this visual of how at homecoming, people be filled with spirits, not the Spirit or by the Spirit. People are filled with major spirits. Okay. And when I say people, I'm just going to take you back to before I stopped drinking. When I say people, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about just, you know, I probably didn't get drunk or whatnot, but I may have gotten close to it. You know what I'm saying? Just being transparent. Y'all know it just makes sense to be transparent. It doesn't make sense to lie or try to perpetrate a fraud. That's just not what we're doing here at the On Assignment by God podcast. Okay. But anyway, I just had that visual of how for homecoming, people would just get drunk with, with all kinds of spirits, right? But here in Ephesians 5:18, it says a person that is filled by the Spirit is under the Spirit's influence. See, at homecoming, we used to be filled with spirits. See, that little change in word, filled by the Spirit and filled with spirits, is it make all the difference in the world, okay? A person that is filled by the Spirit is under the Spirit's influence. That means the Spirit is influencing their behavior. That means the Spirit is influencing what they do. It means the Spirit is controlling you. So today, ask yourself, whose influence am I under on a regular basis? Who or what is controlling my environment? Ask yourself that. What am I filled with? What kind of spirit or spirits am I filled with on a regular basis? Who or what is controlling my environment? Is it your parents? Is it your best friend? Is it an organization? Is it your job? Is it a school? Is it a cult? Or is it that alcohol or some form of drug? What is controlling your environment? Or who is controlling your environment? Now, y'all probably thought I was done with the podcast because, you know, that was like a question. That was almost like an assignment question. But that's not all I got from reading Ephesians 5 today during my study time. So I just want to share with y'all what else the Lord illuminated to me as I was reading his word this morning. So one of the things, actually, it's a couple of things. It's not just one thing, but a few other things that I learned from reading Ephesians 5 was, one, show God's love by serving others, not ourselves. We got to show God's love by serving others, not ourselves. Don't let the culture set the standard. Like, if you letting culture set the standard on your life, you're wrong. That's just flat out wrong, okay? Don't let culture set the standard. As saints, me and you, we saints, we holy. We set apart, okay? As saints, we are set apart for God, and he wants us to see sin as he sees it. Now, how do you see sin as God sees it? First, you got to know how God sees it. Well, how do I know how God sees it? Oh, it's in his word. All I got to do is read his word to know how he sees sin. But you know he sees sin as wrong. I mean, you ain't even got to read a whole lot of Bible to know that. You know he sees sin as wrong, but we as saints, we set apart for God. We are set apart for God, for use by God, right? On assignment by God. We are set apart for his use, and he wants us to see sin as he sees it. Don't pacify sin, okay? Don't be all sugarcoating sin. God ain't sugarcoating sin, okay? He ain't sugarcoating it, so we ain't supposed to sugarcoat it either. To reflect Christ daily, we must have an intimate walk and relationship with him daily. Now, what does that mean? I know most of y'all know what intimacy means, and you probably know what it means from a sin perspective. But we're supposed to have an intimate walk and relationship with Christ every day in order for us to reflect that in our daily lives. Like, what you do in your prayer closet should also be reflected when you come out of the closet and just be walking and talking with people. They should know that you spent time with the Lord. They should know that, man, she spent time with the Lord, because she don't even talk the way she used to talk. I can tell she's spending time with somebody that's got her mind different, that's got her words different. She different now. That's how people should see you. They should be like, what you doing now? Because you look like you at peace. You look like you got joy during a pandemic. You look like you happy. What's up with you? Who you in relationship with? You know, because people always be like, oh, you got a new boo in your life. Who is it? Because you got this glow. This the light is shining on you. Who you talking to? That's how people should look at you and for you to respond, Jesus Christ, every day. We spend so much time together, y'all. It's just, he just loves on me and I love on him. And I just thank him for chasing after me. And he ain't never abandoned me. And he loved me so much. He got this unfailing love for me and stuff like that. You know, the same way you would talk about a relationship with a human being. It's even better when you talk about your relationship with Christ. Okay. Anyway, speaking of light, we are to live as children of light. That means our lifestyle, our words that come out of our mouths must reflect God's standard. Yeah. If you call yourself a Christian, but you out there cussing, you're not really reflecting God's standard. And I know it's some t-shirts out there and they real cool for the culture, but they ain't cool for Christ. I'm just going to say it. I even said this back in the day, like, I'm a Christian, but I cuss a little. No, that's really not God's standard. It may be what you do, but let's not put it out there like God is actually okay with that, because he not. He want us to see sin as he sees it. And in his word, having a foul mouth is not him. That's just not him. So trying to be all, you know, cool for the culture, yeah, you're not being correct with Christ. Okay, let's just put it like that. Okay, we are to worship and give thanks to God regularly. We are to let worship become a lifestyle. Now, some people, you know, you be all like, oh, worship, like I just came to get the word and get up out of here. No, that ain't what you're supposed to do. I'm just letting you know, worship is you giving back to God what, like, first of all, we can't even pay him back for all that he's done for us, but you can show adoration through worship. Like, Lord, I love you so much. And I just thank you so much for all that you are, who you are, all that you are to me, all that you are to my family and my friends, and just all that you are. Just, ooh, Lord, thank you. Like, we are to worship and give thanks to God regularly. And then that's supposed to be our lifestyle. You ain't supposed to ignore worship or try to get out of worshiping. Like, that's it. I'm just going to say it how I feel it. It don't make sense. It does not make sense for you not to worship the true and living God, for you not to worship your Savior. Like, you worship other stuff, celebrities. They ain't did nothing for you. Nothing but God, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's make worship a lifestyle. And then also, we are to regularly fill the tanks of others with God's perspective. That means people should be able to come to you for a fill up, right? You should be able to encourage people with God's perspective on life. So when people come to you, you're not supposed to be jumping into their depression box. So if somebody comes to you feeling depressed or oppressed or down and out or whatever, you as a believer, you are to regularly fill the tanks of others with God's perspective. And the only way you can fill other people up is if you got a fill up yourself. You can't pour into nobody else when you empty. That's a word. You can't pour into nobody else when you empty. So we are to regularly fill the tanks of others, but that means we also have to be getting our tanks filled from others. It all works together. That's what the church is. We are all supposed to be getting our fill from one another, from godly people. That's why you're supposed to hang with godly people, because somebody could be putting some diesel. You know, your tank's supposed to be filled with regular unleaded, and you got somebody over here filling you up with some diesel. Guess what? You ain't about to run right. You gonna sound raggedy. You gonna be raggedy all week until that diesel run out. So you gotta be careful who you let fill your tank. My God, you got to be careful who you let fill your tank. If they ain't talking God, they ain't talking. At least that's how I feel anyway. All right, so when reading chapters like this, y'all, and breaking the word down into bite-sized chunks like this, like I just did, it helps me to more readily apply it to my life. What about you? When you read the word, do you break it down in bullets? I'm telling you, the Tony Evans Study Bible really, truly helps me to better understand the word, because I can read the scripture and then look below at the study notes and get a clear revelation of what God is saying to me. And then not every scripture is highlighted to me. And that just lets me know that God is saying, I want you to pay attention to this, 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 and this today, right? Because you can go back and read Ephesians 5 2 months from now and God will give you a whole new revelation. That's what it means when they say the Bible comes alive. It really does. It comes alive for your situation. So today, these are the things that he illuminated to me. Now, the last part of Ephesians 5 talks about wives and husbands. And you know, your girl was already ready for it. Okay, y'all know I love talking about relationships. Don't act brand new. Don't act brand new. But what I am enjoying even more, because I love talking about relationships, I've been liking the talk of relationships. But what I'm enjoying even more now is the knowledge and wisdom I'm gaining regarding being a wife and having a husband. Yes, I do. Notice I said I do. I do wish that I could have learned all this before I walked down the aisle when I was young and immature. But I ain't gonna dwell on the mistakes. We don't dwell on the mistakes. God has already forgiven us. If you asked him to forgive you, now don't just assume he forgave you. You gotta ask. You gotta, you know, confess your sins. But God has already forgiven us, so I'm not gonna dwell on the mistakes I made. But now my focus is on the transformation that God has made in me. He's preparing me to do marriage his way, the way he intended. So this next time, I say next time, I'm saying final time. Come on, prophesy, Fontria. That's my full government name, y'all. But this final time, I'm doing it God's way. That's it. It's non-negotiable. You know what I'm saying? It's a prenup on how I'm doing it. How you doing? A prenup. Like, let me tell you what the prenup is. I'm doing it God's way, okay? Don't come at me with no foolishness, because that means you're not the one, because you're coming at me foolish, okay? So check out what I got from Ephesians 5 verses 22 through 33. Now I'm not finna read all those verses, so hold your taters. Don't get all crazy like, oh my gosh, you about to read all them verses. No, I'm just about to tell you what I got from those verses, and you need to get it too, whether you single or married. Okay, here we go. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Okay, now a lot of people be like, wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands be the main one, like, wife, you supposed to submit to me. And but don't forget the part they say, as to the Lord. That means husbands, you can't be asking wives to do anything outside of God's will. That's why it's so key, y'all, to have a kingdom husband who is himself submitted to God's will. I always used to be like, I can't submit to nobody. You know what I'm saying? People are like, you got to submit. I'm like, but they ain't submitted though. Why I'm listening to them? And who they listening to? They ain't listening to God. So why I'm listening to them? You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's key to have a kingdom husband who himself is submitted to God's will. Also, check this out. A wife is actually equal to her husband in her being. Listen to this now. Listen closely. Because both are made in God's image. You know, we are both made in God's image. But God designed it for the husband to be the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. So when we start mixing up these roles, we mixing up God's design. And then the outcome is, you know, not the way God designed for it to come out. It is messed up, basically. So we can't be mixing up roles. We can't be wives. You can't be the head, you know, like, and that's one of my things. I will admit, like, I have had an aggressive, you know, attitude in my life. Let me just go and say it. I have aggressive character. You know, I have an aggressive nature, so to speak. However, God did not design for me to be the head. He designed me as the wife to submit to headship, to biblical headship, to my husband, right? So, you know, if you got those roles mixed up, okay, y'all get it. You got them roles mixed up, your whole marriage gonna be mixed up, okay? So a kingdom wife is to respect her husband, even when expressing disagreement. Now, Proverbs, y'all know we studied Proverbs a few weeks ago. Proverbs already told us that a man would rather live in the corner of an attic than deal with a hot tempered or a nagging wife. Okay, women, to be a kingdom wife, you are to respect your husband even when y'all disagree. You got to respect that man even when y'all disagree. But again, it's so key to have a kingdom husband, because a kingdom husband, he's going to live his life and treat you in such a way that you will want to respect him. You know what I'm saying? Even if y'all disagree. You know how people are like, well, I'ma just agree to we just gonna have to agree to disagree. Well, that's still kind of an attitude, okay? Like, talk to God about it, wives. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a kingdom wife, you are to respect your husband even when y'all disagree. And it's a right way to do everything. That's basically what they're saying. All right, this one. The husband is the head of the household. I already said that. That does not mean being a dictator, fellas. That's not what that means. You can't be out here trying to be a dictator and manipulator and abuser and all that kind of stuff to your wife. That ain't what that mean. I can tell you now, I ain't trying to submit to that kind of foolishness. You're not finna dictate me. Now, it says wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Okay, so a husband that ain't submitted to the Lord and you all acting like a dictator, ain't nobody submitting to that. So don't be surprised or shocked when the wife don't submit to that, because you ain't submitted to the Lord if you acting like a dictator. Biblical headship means being a responsible governing authority. That's what that means. It don't mean you can just order me around and tell me what to do. Nah. The husband is responsible for leading his family in the advancement of God's kingdom in the context of love. Okay, in the context of love, God is love. Pay attention, men and women. Okay, just told y'all what biblical headship is. Okay, pay attention. Biblical love. Let's talk about that for a second. Biblical love is compassionately, righteously, sacrificially. Okay, biblical love is compassionately, righteously, and sacrificially pursues the well-being of another. A husband is to sacrifice for his wife and be her deliverer. Ooh, Jesus, I'm getting excited. Y'all, I'm getting excited. He is to protect her and pay the price for her well-being, like Christ is the savior for the body, right? He's supposed to protect her, pay the price for her well-being, just like Christ paid the price for our well-being, right? In a kingdom, husband is also to be his wife's sanctifier, taking her and all her history. That means all her past stuff. You know what I'm saying? All her past things, all her past mistakes. He's a kingdom husband is to be his wife's sanctifier. That means he's supposed to take her from where she is and help her to where she ought to be. Just as Christ sanctifies the church, a kingdom husband, he outserves his wife. Come on, kingdom husband. Y'all, it's in the Bible. This straight come from the Bible. This is not funds, 2 cents. A kingdom husband outserves his wife. That means your wife may have, when it say that you a sanctifier, that means your wife may have dirty flaws from her past. That may dirty flaws made me think dirty draws. I don't know why. That. Okay, y'all stay with me. But anyway, that means your wife may have some dirty flaws from her past, but you as her husband ought to wash her with the word of God and love her as you love yourself. Come on now. Plus, the way God created husbands to lead and wives to respond, listen to this, husbands, it's imperative that your wife sees you initiating, owning responsibility, treating her as special, and sacrificing for her well-being. Like, a wife responds to a husband that she sees initiating, owning responsibility, treating her as special, and sacrificing for her well-being. You're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And this is what it's talking about right here. I don't know about y'all, but I know that I would sure enough be ready to respond to my husband with much respect and submission. Okay? If I see him initiating, owning responsibilities, and treating me special and sacrificing for my well-being. Y'all, I'm just saying, if we do the thing the way God designed for it to be done, everybody wins. Everybody's happy. God didn't just design it this way just to be making up stuff. No, it was intentional, okay? And then finally, to get heavenly blessings, a husband and wife must be in alignment with the roles God designed for them, and they must show love and respect for one another. Y'all, I don't know if y'all listening, y'all paying attention. All I'm saying is God designed this thing a certain way, and culture and the enemy and TV and celebrities and all these other folks done, you know, got it all screwed up basically. And so we got to go back to the word. We got to go back to the originator of marriage. We got to go back to the originator, like our creator, like what, you know, like how did, what did God have in mind when he created me? What did God have in mind when he created marriage? You know what I'm saying? And then that's how we are to live, right? And husband and wives, you got to be in alignment with the roles God designed for you. You can't be, wives, you can't be the head. Sorry. I don't care if you smarter than him, you more saved than him, more spiritual than him, you still not the head. But you pray for that man. You pray for your husband so that he can rise up to the level that he is supposed to operate at. And I just believe that when you do that, the power of a praying wife, you know, when you do that, he will. But also for the single people, you have to pray for your friend guys or whatnot, and guys, you have to pray for the ladies, you know, and your friends so that they can grow. It says we are to fill each other's tanks, right? From God's perspective, we're supposed to encourage each other, and that'll help us get to those places so that when it is time for us to get married or whatever, we're ready. Now, speaking of that, who thinks they ready to get married? Single people? Single people, you think you ready? What about my married listeners? Are y'all's marriages lining up with Ephesians 5:22-33? Bottom line, be encouraged today to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit in your day-to-day lives, whether you are single or married. And that's how we wrap up another episode of On Assignment by God, the Daily Blogging Podcast. Okay, yeah. I'm going to work on my jingle, y'all, okay? But anyway, y'all, that was good, wasn't it? Listen, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying it was good for me. If it was good for you, leave me a message on the podcast. Just go to anchor.fm. and click on the little button where you can leave me a message, or go to On Assignment by God, click on today's episode entitled Under the Influence, and just scroll down to the assignment section and click on that message on the podcast button. Okay. Or just shoot me an email. However you want to reach out to me to share your thoughts about the episode. Just do that. Okay. All right. All right. What are your assignments for today? I don't know. I'm looking right at them. Number one. You already know this one. What did the Lord God say to you in your conversation with him this morning? And if you haven't had a conversation with him this morning and it's still morning time, have that conversation with him. But if it's afternoon or evening, still have that morning conversation with him in the afternoon. Okay. In the evening, at night, whenever. Just talk to the Lord. That's the bottom line. Number two. Whose influence are you under? Who is influencing you? Who telling you what to do? Who guiding you? I hope it's the Holy Spirit, because he is our guide. Got to have a relationship in order to be able to hear from him, though. Okay, so make sure you're having conversations with him in the morning. But whose influence are you under? I'm just asking. I'm saying, so I can hear your answer. Whose influence are you under? And then finally, number three, share this podcast, share the blog, share this message with somebody that you know good and well they need to hear it. Share it with a single person so they can know what's up, what to be looking for in a kingdom man. Share it with the single man so he can know what to look for with a kingdom wife. Yeah. Share it with the married people so they can recalibrate the marriages and be in alignment with God. You know what I'm saying? Now, God might not even brought y'all together, but what he can do is keep y'all together. Come on, somebody. Okay, I'm just saying. And y'all probably like, how you saying that? And you, yeah, I know you know my situation. But that's because I ain't get God's permission. I wrote about it. I did a whole book about it. So if you got something to say about me telling you, encouraging you the right thing to do, and you probably say, well, you didn't do the right thing. Well, read the book. Just go on Amazon or go to onassignmentbygod.com and click on the shop and get permission slips so you can get your whole life and see where I admittedly said that I didn't get God's permission. Okay? All right. So don't be trying to tell me just because I'm trying to encourage you. Okay? Encourage is the nice way to say tell you about yourself. Okay? All right. All right, y'all. That's all I got for you today. Hey, listen. I really do appreciate y'all listening to me. I don't know how many people listen to me. I try to look at stats and stuff, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter because I'm on assignment by God. So I'm just going to keep doing what God tells me to do. And he tells me to do this on a daily basis. So guess what? I'll talk to you tomorrow.